Blog Talk Radio.
And hello once again to all our faithful listeners this evening, those of you who are joining us live, as well as those listening to our recorded program. This is the September 2nd edition of our weekly internet radio program, Midlife Matters, and it does. I'm your host, H. Les Brown. I'm an entrepreneur, a certified Franklin Covey life coach, and author of The Frazzled Entrepreneur's Guide to Having It All. If you're listening to us live, I hope you'll get involved with our discussion tonight by contributing your questions, your ideas, and perspectives to our program by giving us a call. You can call in anytime during the broadcast to area code 646-200-0886. And when the automated operator answers, you can press 1 if you want to talk to us on the air. We'd love to hear from you, so don't be shy. But if you just want to listen, just don't press 1. And once again, the number to call to talk to us or to listen live online is area code 646-200-0886. The chat box on our program's webpage is open. Please feel free to chat with me anytime during our live broadcast. If you're too shy to call, it's a way for you to ask our guest a question or just take a second to say hello. This program is the next installment of our series, Midlife Dialogues. And in this long-running series, we're continuing to feature an absolutely awesome array of experts who are very knowledgeable in a wide variety of subjects that deeply affect the lives of men and women in midlife. And our guest expert tonight is Chris Cavanaugh. And Chris is a CEO catalyst. She provides life coaching services to business owners and mid to senior level professionals who are feeling stuck or overwhelmed with their lives. Through her coaching programs, she helps her clients take back control by learning to become the successful CEO of their own lives. Unlike most life coaches, she employs a very business-life strategic planning approach and structure that empowers her clients with the ability to move quickly forward through difficult obstacles and to achieve their goals and life visions more easily and consistently. Her clients experience a higher quality of life by the end of her coaching programs, allowing them to gain a deeper sense of well-being and satisfaction in every life area. She has over 20 years of experience training and mentoring individuals. She's an expert strategist with an amazing ability to pull her clients through difficult challenges to obtain the life they truly want. She fully believes that the key to a successful life begins with a person's ability to manage their life in the same way a CEO manages a company. So, Chris, welcome to Midlife Matters.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. This is great.
Wonderful to have you. I've never been, well, I guess I have been a CEO because I've been a solopreneur. I'm anxious to hear about becoming CEO of my own life, though. I hope I've done a good job. We'll see. But before we get there, if you don't mind, could you tell us a little about yourself, your personal and professional background?
Sure, be happy to. I grew up just outside New York City and spent a lot of my adult life bouncing around from job to job. I spent several years in New York City. I spent a couple of years in Atlanta, then moved back to New York City, then moved to New Jersey. I've basically lived a lot of different places, had a lot of different jobs. I'm one of those people where when I have a job, I do my job to the best of my ability, but I tend to get bored quickly if I'm not challenged, and I tend to be one of those people where if I do not have something to strive for, I almost feel like, well, what's the point of being here, and okay, next job, which is one of the reasons I job hopped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 20 years of job hopping, I ended up back down in Atlanta in a job and was very frustrated where I was, and finally decided that I was done just having a paycheck, because most of my jobs, I felt like I was just earning a paycheck. I wasn't in love with my jobs. So I quit and spent about 2 years on a job quest. During those two years, I did what I could to pay the bills. I worked at Gwinnett Tech as an adult ed instructor. I tutored kids. I wrote resumes and bios as a freelancer. I did what I had to do. But it wasn't until 2007 that I came across the coaching industry. And surprise, surprise, I didn't even know it existed. It was like this huge light bulb went on. And I finally saw the opportunity for me to go back to my roots to help people, because my first job ever, I was working with Youth for Christ as a director, and my whole job was all about using the operational skills, the relationship management skills, the training skills, and most importantly, my passion for helping people was the foundation of all of that. So moving into coaching was such a perfect fit, and I could own my own business, be my own boss, and control my own schedule. It was like the perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through and found out that coaches don't have to be certified, but if you do get certified, you tend to be a little bit more qualified when people are looking for things. You tend to get picked more. So I went through and ended up picking, of course, the most expensive certification process. And here I am, you know, 2 years later, certified, working with clients, and loving what I do.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get your certification?
The program that I went in was supposed to be about a 1 to 1.5 year program. But the funny thing is I'm a very driven person. When I want something, I refuse to do things the way they're supposed to be done. So I told my master coach that if she thought I was going to wait a year to a year and a half to get certified, she was crazy, that she needed to figure out. And I did. I told her that she needed to figure out a way for me to fast track, and she kind of laughed, and she really saw that I was serious. So she actually went out of her way to meet with me way more often, and I ended up fast tracking the first part of my program, which was supposed to take 6 months. I fast tracked it to 3 months. And then the second part of my program, which was supposed to take another 8 to 10 months, I ended up fast tracking into about 6 to 8 months. So I was completely done with everything in just about 10 months altogether. So I was very pleased with that. Yeah. And my master coach actually said that she was quite amazed that I'd gotten through it so well and did so well along the process.
Well, that's what comes with being a strategist, doesn't it?
It really
that,
does.
That and CEO of her own life.
That and the driven personality that I have. Just watch out. When I want something, man, just get out of my way, because I'll find a way to make it happen.
Aha. So not only make it happen for yourself, but make it happen for your clients, apparently. Because you use the term CEO catalyst to describe yourself. You want to tell us more what that term means and why you use that?
Sure. One of the things that I found when I started out as a life coach was that there were a million other life coaches out there, and I had no idea what made me different than everybody else. And from a purely business owner marketing standpoint, you really have to figure that out in order to be successful in a business. And so I started really digging and trying to figure it out. And I actually invested in a branding program, and they went through with me, and it was a partnership to figure out how I was unique. And through the course of the branding program, we really drilled down and found out that part of the thing that makes me unique is I help people become CEO of their life. And here's what that means. When a CEO of any organization, any company, it doesn't matter if it's a one-person company or if it's a 6,000-person company, that CEO is paid to get up and make that company a success. It doesn't matter what's going on in their personal life. It doesn't matter how many obstacles they face. It doesn't matter. Every day, their thought process, their actions, their belief, and their mindset is, what am I doing today that's going to make my company a success tomorrow? And everything that they do has to support that foundation. And so I figured it out that if somebody would run their life like a CEO runs a company, they will naturally attract success, because every day that they get up and put their feet on the floor, their thoughts have to be, I'm responsible for my life. Nobody else is. I'm the only one that's going to make it happen. I have to get up, and I have to be far-looking, far-reaching, strategically planning, having the right mindset, having the right attitude, so that everything that I do is for my success, or at least walking towards that. And a good CEO learns that if they get knocked down, that's okay, because that's part of life. You fail, that's part of life. But you don't stay down. You get up and you move on and you figure out how to get over whatever it is that's stopping you. So as a coach, what I do is I help people kind of wrap their heads around that mindset so that they become CEO of their life and that everything is based around that. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. I don't know if you know that I'm also, well, I said it right at the beginning of the program, that I'm also a life certified life coach. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've always been concerned about is I see this huge dichotomy between successful people and not so successful people as people who are, on one hand, visionaries and who are willing to do what's necessary to make that vision happen, and people who see themselves as victims. And to be there when people want to make that transition from victim to visionary, or in your terms, the CEO of their life, to get over the whatever anybody or life did to me, and get on with the important thing of making your life happen. Your mission statement says that your passion is empowering people with the ability to take back that control of their lives that we're just talking about and successfully overcome any obstacles to achieve a thriving quality of life more consistently. And what you want to tell us more about that? What do you mean by that?
Well, if you have a chance to get to my website, you'll see that there is a quality of life chart on it. And my website is www.begintoshift.com. And the four quality of life levels are surviving, existing, living, and thriving. And there's a link there that goes through all the definitions. But the one I want to focus on is called thriving, and that's what I do. And here's the definition. A thriving quality of life, when a person is experiencing that, they have an abundant life. They are utilizing little to no effort to achieve their goals. They are very confident that they will exceed at anything they set their mind to. They can perform effectively regardless of difficult circumstances. They appreciate meaningful challenges and have a very high optimism about life. They rarely experience a high intensity of emotional pain, and they quickly work through their dissatisfactions. They manage all types of stress well. Life typically feels easy, and they experience joy on a regular basis. And as a coach, I really do help my clients experience a thriving life more consistently by helping them become CEO of their life. That organically really does cause them to attract success more easily, because they're living at a higher level than just basic living. They're living past that, if that makes sense.
Oh, very much so. I love that definition of thriving. Wow, can I relate with that? I've never heard it put like that, and I've been out on your website, but I'm going back. take another look at those definitions. I think they're very important, and I recommend that people do that. Pardon me?
I have to give some kudos to the person that helped me create that definition. I was working with Claire Horner, who's a therapist here locally. We had met each other at a network meeting and instantly decided that since both of us serve the same clients but on different planes, that there's got to be a way to help people understand the differences between coaching and therapy. So we spent weeks putting together a teleseminar to explain the differences. And this definition and the quality of life levels actually came out of that. And if you're interested, if you go to my website and click on the, I think it's the, I can't remember where on the website it is, but there's a link there that talks about the teleseminar. And I can actually send that to you if you're interested.
Fabulous. Well, I hope that our listeners will go out there and click because that is an amazing definition, and I would expect that the other three will be equally amazing. I really appreciate that. I'm going to copy it down somewhere. Now, as we know, as you say, there may not be millions of coaches out there, but there are a lot of people who call themselves, men and women who call themselves coaches, some certified, some not certified. And I know, as you said, one of the important things is to set yourself from a marketing perspective, because every business involves a lot of marketing. But it means setting yourself apart from everyone else. Why should I come to Chris or to Les rather than anyone else? How do you specifically, what is your difference? How do you specifically help someone who's experiencing a life transition such as at midlife?
Well, I think specifically it's the whole CEO mindset that I help people get to. The process of how that happens is different from coach to coach, but there are a lot of similarities. One mm-hmm. of the things I always like to say is there's a quote that I love that kind of represents where people are now and where they want to be. It's Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." And mm-hmm. I find that when most people come to me, it's because there's this little piece of them that's feeling a little insane. You know, they're like, my life never changes. The circumstance isn't different. And when we really look at it, it's because they're doing the same thing over and over and over again. So what mm-hmm. I do as a coach, which all coaches do, is help them figure out exactly what it is they want to have happen. So ultimately, I start with the vision of what they want to have happen, what is their end goal, and that's very important that we clarify that to a very concrete, specific degree. Then once mm-hmm. I make that happen for them through a series of questions, then we work together to strategically plan the steps involved in moving in that direction. And as they're working towards it from meeting to meeting, from month to month, obstacles happen, failures happen, and things get hard. Well, what I do is I really help them work through that by looking at exactly what they're doing emotionally, what they're doing as a action step, and what's going on with them internally. Because sometimes the internal stuff is what the obstacle is, and it just takes a couple of, you know, sometimes it takes a meeting or two to really kind of dig in and figure that out. And I'm not talking mm-hmm. therapy because I'm not qualified.
No.
I'm just talking about regular old stuff that goes on in your head, because your head really does direct your perceptions, which is how you see the world, which is a lot of times why you do the things you do. And then after that, I help them develop new ways of thinking and acting that are in alignment with their goals, and at some point they develop really great habits and they start moving forward.
We hope that that's true.
If it isn't true,
we hope
I think
they do. I mean, the coach,
exactly.
We can challenge them. We can call it. We can hold them accountable. But the client has to do the work. I love
That's
the title.
Absolutely true.
I love the name of your, I think it's the name of your business, at least your logo, Shift Incorporated. Because of what we're just talking about right now, that that where the mind and the vision goes, your life follows it. And I so often say, if you want to change your life, change your mind. And it's all about what you're saying here. Take a new perspective, a paradigm shift. Redefine the problem, and you might find the only reason that I think, and you probably agree with me, the only reason the problem seems so insoluble is because we're defining them wrong. We're asking the wrong questions.
it is. Now, it may not be because we're asking the wrong questions. It's that for everybody, I mean, and coaches included, when we are too close to a situation, we can't see it properly, and it often takes somebody else to pull us out of that into a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of a rhetorical question, because I certainly have dedicated enough of my own life to the coaching profession to. It's because I know its value and deeply believe in it. But let's say that someone is in a state of transition and maybe having economic challenges. Why do you think people should spend the money on a coach when they, as many people think they can, just work through transition on their own?
You know, it's a lot of times I have found when I'm out there talking to people about what I do, I get a lot of interest. Oh, that's great. That sounds wonderful. And then the question is, of course, well, how much is it? And what I always have to say to them is it's about the cost. And they look at me funny. And so I have to explain. And, of course, here's what that means. Coaching is an investment in yourself. It is not a purchase. And I always make people think about it this way. When they have a retirement account, they invest money in that account every single month, hopefully, to support the future they want to have when they retire. And sometimes they do that, if they're lucky and they open up an account early enough, for 20 to 30 years. So 20 to 30 years, they're tucking money away that they could be using to pay bills, they could be using to go on vacation, they could be using for 1,000 other things. But no, they have chosen to put that money in a place that's an investment for their future. And so coaching is the same thing. The money they invest in coaching is for their future. And so if they would think about the cost, and the cost often has a lot to do with what is the cost of you not investing? What is your life going to be like 5 months from now, 10 months from now, 2 years from now, if you don't address what it is that's bothering you that brought you to a coaching conversation to begin with? You know, how much energy are you going to waste juggling your whole life, trying to do all of your responsibilities when your marriage is suffering and you're not seeing your kids grow up? You know, how often are you going to snap at your spouse or your kids because you can't manage your stress effectively? Investing in your future is what I always tell people. And some people aren't ready, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. But as long as they are willing to at least think about it that way, that makes me happy when they say no, because they've at least thought about it, and they're like, no, I'm not ready. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. But if you are ready, you can find a way, and I can help you find a way if you're ready. We just need to figure out how.
Isn't it amazing how much inconvenience, basically how much crap that we are willing to put up with in our daily lives? Like, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, I can live with that. just something as simple as having a messy desk, which I do. Every time I walk by it, I say, "Oh, that desk is messy," and that energy's gone forever. You know how much how much are we willing to put up with in you know to keep that is keeping our life from being the kind of life we want to live. I want to give you a plug because I did follow your links, and I hope there's a link to this on your website. There's a well written page that says that's titled "What is the cost versus what is the price?" Is that available on your website?
If people go to my website, there's a section that says common questions, and of course one of the questions is how much is coaching. I actually go through that in that section.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful one-page summary of what you've just said, and I couldn't agree. I've seldom seen it written quite so well, so I want to give you kudos for that one.
And, you know, in addition to what I was talking about, cost with cost versus price, the other thing that people have to do after they even choose to invest in the coaching program is to be willing to commit to the necessary change work. And that's important, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as you know, when we pick up a client and they invest in a program, they are wasting their money if they're not committed to working through the process, because it requires that they do things differently, that they step outside their comfort zone, and that they work through the feelings of discomfort every single day to get where they want to go. And not everyone is a good fit for a coaching program, which is why all coaches usually have some sort of an initial conversation to make sure that it's a good fit. Because if they're not an ethical coach, if they know it's not a good fit and they know it's just going to be full of problems, they'll either refer them out to coaches they know who might be a good fit, or they'll simply say, you know, "I would love to coach you, but I really don't feel like I'm going to do you justice." And they'll refer them to someplace else where they can look for somebody.
Yes, that's very, very, very true. And I would hope that every coach that I know, I think as a profession, life coaches are some of the most ethically driven people that I know of. Just generally speaking, I know that there are probably coaches that are less ethical than others out there, but I have never met one, and I've met hundreds of coaches over the course of my career, and everyone is that I've spoken to is deeply committed to the success of his or her clients and doing it the right way and the best way.
I actually had a situation this year where I picked up a client fully committed to do the work, and about 3 months into the program, I just knew that it wasn't a good fit. But it took us 3 months to get there because we both had known each other beforehand and had a professional relationship. So from meeting to meeting, I started seeing that I was just not a good fit for them. I wasn't what they needed. The long-term goals really weren't in sync with life coaching. They really needed a business coach. And so I actually had to sit down with him and say, you know, I don't think this is going to work out long-term, and I really think you're going to be wasting your money. What do you want to do? Because you always put it back in the client's hands. If they really want to work with you, then you have to change your work to be specific to what you know you can do as a coach. If they don't want to do that, then you have to say, I know you want to continue, but I ethically cannot, and I will refer you to somebody else, but we cannot continue because I can't do what you need.
Well, I'm so glad that you said that, because it was something that was in the back of my mind as we were talking, from my own experience, that the initial conversation is very, very important, and certainly there are people that you see right off that are not going to be a good fit. But I also find, and I do tell my new clients, you know, it's going to take us at least 6 sessions to get to really know each other. I find that it takes 6 sessions about for for a client to really settle in and be comfortable and really open up. And in that period, it can happen, as you just said, that one or the other or both, if you realize this really isn't a good fit. So I haven't had the opportunity to turn anybody away up front. By the time they get to me, they really needed coaching. but I have had several that over the first six sessions, we realized that it was not going to be a good fit, not going to work. So if anyone's considering coaching, you know, give the process a chance, but realize it's going to take you at least six sessions. And do you agree with me on the length of time?
I don't know if six is the magic number, and I don't think there is a magic number. But
right.
I really do feel that somewhere in the first few sessions, you know, you have an inkling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a matter, if you have an inkling that it's maybe not working, then you need to figure it out quick. Because, as you said, an ethical coach does not want to waste her client's money. So an ethical coach is going to try and find that out as quickly as possible so that her client's money isn't wasted on coaching that isn't going to end up working anyway.
So let's say we have this client who's living in Einstein's theory of relativity and in insanity, at least is stuck. Why should they, is that a good question? Here's a better way of putting it. What does becoming CEO of their own life offer them in that situation?
There are literally lots of things it offers them, but four come to mind. The first is they are more aware of their power of choice, and this is something I cannot stress. When you become CEO of your life and you connect to that mindset, you wake up every day with a sense of internal power that you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Now, it may not be easy. It may take time, and you may experience a whole lot of frustration along the way. But there's that deep, deep confidence that the power of choice, that you know you can make choices every day, even difficult ones, to get where you want. So that's the first thing, is you're aware of your power of choice. The second is you get to design your life and live it on purpose. And being able to have the power of choice allows you to do that. The third is you can achieve your heart's desire in every area more consistently. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if we could have our heart's desire in practically every area of our life? And that's the goal, is to get to that place as to where you are satisfied and joyful with every area of your life, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. You find joy and you find satisfaction because you know you are doing everything that you can. And because you're doing everything that you can to make your life the best that you can, you immediately cut yourself a break and you give yourself the grace to go through that situation knowing that at some point it's going to be okay. And then the fourth thing, of course, is you end up, after doing the three things, you end up experiencing a thriving quality of life. So those are the four things.
Fantastic. Okay, where do I sign up? Okay. I had this wonderful question that I wanted to follow up with, but I threw it out of my mind.
Well, we can circle back to it when you remember.
We certainly will. It's come back to me. One of the things that we discovered, people in our generation have discovered, is that midlife is a very, very interesting and important time of life. it's the time when I don't know if you've listened to any or many of our programs, but it's the time when people get out from under the idea that they have to live up to somebody else's plan for them, and somebody else live up to somebody else's expectations. Once again, I think my favorite midlife image is from the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, where the young kids pull their car into the parking space, and she goes and rams the car out of the parking space, and because they said, "Well, we're younger and faster," and she says, "Well, I'm older and have more insurance," and it's that, you know, nobody is going to. It's like I'm at the point where I'm fed up with doing it everybody else's way. I need to know what my way is. So midlife is that time, I think, when men and women make that shift from living somebody else's life up to somebody else's expectations to going through the pain, really, of discovering what their own expectations are. And you mentioned it earlier. What do you mean by living your life on purpose?
Well, I recently wrote a book called Living Your Life on Purpose, Three Powerful Steps to Achieving a Thriving Quality of Life. And I know that you put the link for that on your website. And I'm going to be giving that away for free to anyone that signs up for my e-zine, so you can check that out later. But here's what that means. In the book, it's all based on becoming CEO of your life, and there's actually a whole section addressing the 12 areas of your life that gives you a chance to kind of dig in and analyze each area. But living your life on purpose literally means what you just said. It's that purposefulness where you get up every day and every action that you take is for a purpose, and that purpose is your success, your long-term goals, your long-term dreams, your long-term vision. It is proactively, I guess I should say, doing whatever it takes every day to get where you want to go later. And that's what living a life on purpose is. It is a daily commitment to your future.
And midlife is the perfect time to do it.
It is, because you're 20.
It is.
I think when you're young, of course, you're under your parents' rule. When you get out of your parents' house and you go to college or you do whatever your next step in life is, that's when you have your first taste of freedom. So you usually end up, you know, kind of just doing whatever it is you want to do because it's the first time you have a chance to. Then all of a sudden you have all of these responsibilities and bills. So now you have to rein it in and kind of do what everybody says you have to do to survive. Then,
because that's all you know.
Exactly. And then so then you're in your 20s. And then you're trying to figure it out who you are and what you're all about. Then all of a sudden you're in your 30s. And at this point, typically people are getting married. Some of them are having kids. You know, they're starting to figure out what their careers are, what their lives are, and who they are. And all of a sudden they end up in their 40s and 50s. And it's like, wow, you mean I have choices? You mean I can make decisions? You mean I don't have to go where everybody says? And it's that whole sense of internal freedom where you have this awareness that, oh, wow, you mean I really can make my life the way I want it to?
Yeah, exactly. And then people wind up like people in my family. My dad was an entrepreneur and a machinist, and he had a degree in geology. And here I am as a life coach with a degree in theology. So when you're young and going through school, you may have a really good idea of where you want to go, but I sort of think that for most of us, we kind of find out later, you know. And it's partly design and partly partly rubbing your nose up against hard reality.
I agree.
Because although you can do and be whatever you want, there are limits. There are limits. I will never be a ballerina. No matter how much I try, no matter how much I work, I will never be a 61-year-old ballerina. It just can't, you know. So there are limitations, but within our destiny, within that frame in which we live, there's so much potential, so much possibility. And, you know, we only use, what do they say, 1/10 of our brain power. And I think we use only about 1/10 of our personal power too. Speaking of which, you said that in your book you talk about 12 areas of a person's life, or the 12 areas of a person's life. What are these 12 areas you're talking about?
Well, I break life into the following 12 areas. Appearance is the way you look, and I'm doing them in alphabetical order, so no importance to any of them because they're all equal. Career is whatever you get paid regularly to do. Family is your immediate and extended family. Friends are your acquaintances and good friends that you have in your life. Fun and leisure are the things you want to do, not the things you have to do. Health is your physical and mental health. Home is the place where you live, both atmosphere and location. Money, of course, is your financial situation. Personal development is improving yourself in some way. Relationship is typically your spouse, partner, or significant other. Service is the time, money, or talents you use or give to help others. And spiritual, of course, is your belief about humankind's existence and purpose. And it's really important that you experience harmony in every area of your life. And in order to do this, you have to take the time to analyze them, to improve the ones that aren't going well, and to enhance the ones that are. And let me use a tire analogy. As long as you have air in your tires and it's pressurized correctly, your car will perform well, you know, barring any mechanical difficulties. However, if one of your tires is low, the car doesn't perform really well, and the longer you don't address that low tire, the less air it's going to have in it, which will eventually cause the rest of your tires to have to work really harder to get your car from here to there. And it also, of course, reduces the overall effectiveness of the tires in general over the long run. And if you completely ignore it, which a lot of people do when there's something going on in their life that they don't feel like fixing, when they completely ignore it, at some point the tire is going to blow or completely cave in, which is going to cause a whole ton of more damage to your car. So life is like that. When we have blind spots in our life because we don't check in to see how they are going or we ignore what we know is happening, we often find issues we weren't expecting start to appear or things blow up. And with 20/20 hindsight, most people can usually see where they could have circumvented that entire thing if only they had been paying attention to begin with or have acknowledged what was going on to begin with. And to avoid blind spots, I always have my clients do an analysis of their life to make sure that they're addressing each one as needed and maintaining the ones that are already going well.
I think what you're just saying there is absolutely critical. Absolutely. And when we talk about, my experience is that some people are allergic to the word balance. They, for some reason, I guess balanced, having a balanced life has a bad rap, whatever it is.
Well, you know, I didn't use the word balance, by the way.
No.
I used the word harmony, but I did that on purpose. Would you like to know why?
I would love to know why.
Balance, to me, it's having to juggle every area of your life at the same time and make sure every area of your life is being dealt with at the same time, which is impossible. It would be like throwing up 12 balls and having to catch all 12 balls at once when you only have two hands. It's impossible. But harmony is being able to throw all the balls up and know which one to catch because that specific one needs to be addressed right now, and the others can either fall or start to fall, and you can grab them when you get to them. So that's harmony.
I see.
It's knowing which one to catch.
I see the difference in approach there. And I too take the same approach, saying, you know, that that you, certainly you can't pay attention to all these areas of your life. And I love the way you have it sorted out here. I cover all those also, but in a different framework. So we're very much on the same line here, that we do have to pay attention to these various areas of our lives and pay attention to them. And you mentioned the word earlier, proactively, to get to them before that tire gets flat. You know, to make sure that we're paying enough attention to all these areas. It's so critical. And so many people come to us with flat tires, especially at midnight, midlife. Midlife is a time when, for whatever reason, especially guys, do not want to look at that flat tire. They will do anything to pretend that tire isn't flat. You know, whether it's getting a new girlfriend or changing a job, anything so that they don't have to look at what's going on inside. I want to slap them. Figuratively speaking, of course. Well, it sounds like you really love what you do. I've been out on your website, and I see that you, and I've actually printed it all out here. All about your developing the CEO within you. You have a home study course, or a home study version of the Developing the CEO Within You program. And I read about it here, and I'm excited. But how about telling our listeners about it?
Yeah, I'd love to. The Developing the CEO program was born last year. It was something that I started out of the CEO mindset that I got from the branding program. And so I created this program initially as a group program, and it went so well as a group, I decided to do private clients, so one-on-one coaching with them. And because, again, of the economy and people kind of stressing about where they're spending their money, one of the things that I'm trying to do as a good coach is get myself to a place as to where I can offer my coaching to them at a lower price point. So what I've done is absolutely take the time to create a program that they can get at a lower price point. And if you go to my services page, you can see that link. It says Home Study Program with a link.
Perfect. So at least I recommend that our listeners go out there to your website and give us your website again. www.begintoshift.com?
Yes, www.begintoshift.com.
And then go to the, is it program tab?
The services page.
Services.
If you look on the left on the menu, it
there
says services.
Go. Yep. Okay.
You go into services, and you'll see Developing the CEO Within You, and then there's a link that says Home Study Version.
Okay. And not only do you have that, but you also have an e-zine that people can receive. What's in your e-zine?
My e-zine is called CEO Shift, and it is all about shifting people over to a CEO mindset so that they can have a thriving quality of life more consistently. And not every week. I try to do it every week, but sometimes things happen. But it's a pretty regular e-zine that goes out. It consists of one major article that's, you know, some sort of topic that people really need to understand or learn or delve into a little bit more deeply to have a thriving quality of life. And then it also has some resources that I suggest, et cetera. So, and it's been really well received. And when people sign up for my e-zine, they get my e-book at no cost. And if they want to go sign up for my e-zine, they can click on my website on the left-hand side. It says free ebook with a link to the information about the book. And then once you go to the information about the book, you can, at the bottom of that, subscribe, and that will take you to the registration page.
Fantastic. And I honestly am going to do that. I believe in your approach. You know, as a coach, I know it works. And although I haven't been through the program, I can vouch for the principles that are behind it. And I'm just wondering, of all the things we've talked about this evening, we've talked about becoming CEO of your life, about the sorts of things that hold people back, about living your life on purpose. What would you like our listeners to come away with at the end of this hour?
The most important thing that I would have to say is that you are in charge of your life, and no one else can make it better. So if you want your life to be different, if you want your personal life to be different, if you want your professional life to be different, if you're okay with both, but you have a really neat goal that you have to strive for, then you have to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And if that is investing in a coach, if that's investing in a book, if that's investing in, you know, time with a mentor, if that's taking time off so that you can get clear on what you want, sacrificing some pay so that you can take a week or two off to kind of sit and think, you have to do whatever it takes. So investing in yourself is so important, however that looks for you. That would be the biggest thing as a takeaway. I don't care what you do, but invest in yourself, and once you do that, things will happen.
Wiser words were seldom ever spoken. Well, nobody's going to invest in you if you don't.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about, and I love the idea of becoming CEO of your life. And best wishes about your program, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of this, because it really is especially if you know somebody who could use some coaching but may not feel like that it's economically feasible at this time. This is a really developing the CEO within you is a really viable alternative, I think.
It is, and I offer 100% guaranteed satisfaction, which means that if somebody gets the program and they work it, now, it's one of those mm-hmm. things as to where if they buy it and just decide they don't want to do it, I mean, I will honor that and give them a refund, but it would be far better for them not to shell out the money to begin with unless they were serious and try the program mm-hmm. and actually try to work it. And then for
yes.
them to come to me and say, yeah, this isn't working. And all right, you know, I'll give you your money back. You know, I will honor that. But I have found that everyone that's gone through that program, their life has been changed for the better in some way. Not one person has ever done that program and said nothing has been better. So that's why I can give the guarantee, because something always changes for the better if they stick to it, commit, and work it.
And one of our prior guests on this program has been through your program. I see Carrie Pierce, the founder of Menopause R Us.
Yes.
We
mm-hmm.
had a delightful conversation, Carrie Pierce and I. So she has been through your program, and she endorses it strongly as well.
Yes, she does.
So there you are. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show this evening and talking with us and bringing your expertise and your enthusiasm. It's been great having you.
Well, thank you. And if there's anything that I can do to help you out, you let me know. I'm happy to do that.
Oh, I just might do that. Maybe we'll have you come back and do it and talk to us again. And like I tell all my guests, If you have something new coming up in the future and you'd like to come back on the program and to talk about it, love to have you.
Oh, great. Carrie and I might do that because we're working on a project together right now.
Oh, wonderful. Bring her along.
I will. Believe me, when we get to that place, we will both come back. It'll be great.
Okay, I'd love to have it. I'd love to have you both. Well, next Wednesday already, we're already in September. How about that? We're excited to have back with us again for their second visit to Midlife Matters. Best-selling authors, and we had so much fun last time, Judith Shervin and Jim Snakowski. Judith and Jim, they wrote a book called Bridging Heart and Marketing, and they were on our program a number of months ago, and we never got to talk about their book. We just got off on talking about important things. So they're coming back, and they're a husband and wife psychology team, and they're best-selling authors of 5 books. They've been marketing online for 4 years and are best known as the leading voice for soft sell marketing, producing the only internet marketing conference for the soft sell community, which they call Bridging Heart and Marketing. You're not going to want to miss our discussion with Judith and Jim, nor any of the other wonderful guests we have already lined up for you for the month of September, and we have people scheduled well into October. So make sure that you're on our mailing list so that you can hear about it first. If you subscribe to our Midlife Matters e-zine, every week you'll receive biographies and reminders about each of our guests. And if you've not yet subscribed, you can register for your free subscription at www.proactivation.org. And that link is also on our Midlife Matters program homepage. I want to remind you that at the bottom of Chris Kavanaugh's page on our Midlife Matters website, or Midlife Matters Blog Talk Radio website, you'll see to receive your copy of her book, Living Your Life on Purpose, 3 Powerful Steps to Achieving a Thriving Quality of Life, click here. Just click right there, and it'll take you right to her book. So on behalf of our guest, Chris Kavanaugh, and the whole staff of Midlife Matters, I want to thank you again for being with us this evening. We're delighted that you could join us. And I hope you'll be back with us next week on Wednesday, September 9th. That's 9909 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And for now, bless you all and bye-bye.
Are you one of those people who feel like midlife is creeping up on you? What is midlife? When does it happen? How will it affect you? And why do some people have a harder time with it than others? Find out the answer to these and many other questions about facing the second half of life. Explore the information available on our Midlife Mastery website at www.midlifemaster.com and make the second half of your life the better half. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Midlife Matters. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, let us know. Send us a comment or tell us we're one of your favorite programs by clicking on the Add to Favorites button on our program's homepage. And don't forget to join us again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of the Midlife Matters Internet Radio Program.